You will open your Bibles with me today to Psalm 28. Psalm 28. Unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock. Be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry unto thee, when I lift up my hands toward thy holy oracle. Draw me not away with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity, which speak peace to their neighbors, but mischief is in their hearts. Give them according to their deeds, and according to the wickedness of their endeavors. Give them after the work of their hands. Render to them their desert, because they regard not the works of the Lord, nor the operation of his hands. He shall destroy them and not build them up. Blessed be the Lord, because he hath heard the voice of my supplications. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him. The Lord is their strength, and he is the saving strength of his anointed. Save thy people, and bless thine inheritance, feed them also, and lift them up forever. In this psalm, I want us to notice that David, who was the author, he acknowledges that the Lord Jesus Christ is three things to all who trust in him. If you notice in verse 7, he said, "My heart trusted in him." My heart trusted in him, in Christ, the Lord. Jehovah, the Lord Jesus Christ. My heart trusted in him. He doesn't say that he trusted in a plan or anything like that. He didn't trust in a system of doctrine. He trusted in him. My heart trusted in him. There's righteousness, there's salvation, there's redemption in him, that is, in Christ. And he said, my heart trusted in him. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul said, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. With the heart, my heart trusted in him. And so each and every one of us may look at these three things today and know, each and every one of us, that is, who trust in him with our heart, who know him as our Lord and Savior, we may look at these three things and know that they are also true of us. True of every believer, every child of God. The first is in verse 1, he says, O Lord, my rock. O Lord, my rock. He is the rock which God laid in Zion as a sure foundation. This is what we read in Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 16. God speaking, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth, that is, trusteth in him, shall not make haste. Now, the Apostle Paul quotes this verse in the New Testament, in the letter of Romans, but he quotes it from the Septuagint version, the Greek translation of the Old Testament. And that last phrase is somewhat different. It is changed. He that believeth shall not be ashamed. The Lord is my rock. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. He that believeth in Him, trusteth in Him, shall not be ashamed. When this life is over, and you and I stand before God, and all the books are opened, those who are able to say today, in sincerity and truthfulness, the Lord is my rock, shall not be ashamed. I tell you, folks, there's a lot of things in my life that I'm ashamed of. Some things that I remember that come to my mind before I was saved and even after I've been saved. Things that I'm ashamed of. I would hate to think that I would stand before the universe assembled, all men and women, and every thought and every word and every deed which I'm guilty of would be revealed. But I know today that built upon Christ, upon the rock, the Lord is my rock, the sure foundation, that tried stone, that precious cornerstone, the Lord Jesus Christ, that I shall not be ashamed. Why? Because He has taken all my sins away. Just like as was pictured by the scapegoat in the law of Moses. He's carried them, Peter says, in His own body on the tree. And search, you know, God says, search may be made for them, but they cannot be found. Isn't that something wonderful today? It is to me. The Lord, O Lord, my rock. In our Lord's message, which is called the Sermon on the Mount, you know He ended that message by giving the example of two men who built houses. One man built his house upon the sand. And so when the wind came and the rain came and the water came up, his house was driven away. But the other man built his house upon the rock, upon Christ. And when the winds come, and notice the winds come to both men, both who built on the sand and those who built on the rock, the winds come, the trials, the tribulations. Will your anchor hold in the storm of life? That's the question, isn't it? Well, it will if you're built upon the rock. But if your profession of faith is simply built upon the sand, when the tribulation, the trials, and the difficulties, the water, the floods come up, then your house will give away. O Lord, my rock. Now notice the second thing that he mentions, which is true of every believer, is in verse 7. The Lord is my strength. The Lord is my strength. When we think of this fact, this declaration, we should think of it as we think of the fact that Christ is our life. Christ is the believer's life. That's what Paul says. When Christ shall appear, who is our life? Christ is our life. When we think of Him as our life, we realize that we live in Him. We live in Christ. That's what he said in Acts chapter 17 as he was preaching on Mars Hill, that in Him we live and move. All of us here today, we live in Christ. That is, He gives us life. We live by Him. We live through Him. But He is our life. See what I'm saying? We live in Him, we live by Him, and we live through Him. Christ is our life. And the same thing we should think when we read Christ, the Lord is our strength. We're strong in Him. We're strong by Him. We're strong through Him. The Lord is our strength. Now, the Lord being our strength includes both our natural strength, that is, the strength of our bodies, the strength for you to come here today. Who gave you that strength? Who enabled you to come? He did. The Lord Jesus Christ. He's the strength of our bodies. We had the lesson, I believe it was last Sunday maybe, Brother Streeter was teaching about Caleb. And when Caleb went into the promised land, he was 80 or 85 years old. And he told Moses, I'm just as strong now as I was the day I came into the land to search out the land. Who gave him that strength? Most men at 80, 85 years old don't have a whole lot of strength left. But God gives us strength. Physical strength, yes, absolutely. We acknowledge that He's the one who is our strength, but spiritual strength, absolutely. The Lord is our strength. The Apostle Paul, he prayed for believers in the letter of Ephesians, and one of his requests was to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. And Paul also confessed, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You know, in the second letter of Corinthians in chapter 12, when Paul talks about the fact that he was caught up into the third heaven, and when he came back, he had a thorn in his flesh. And then he tells us that God revealed unto him that it was through his weakness that God is glorified. And so Paul said, when I am weak, then I am strong. In other words, in serving the Lord, all of us as his children, we all are serving the Lord in some way, in some capacity. But where does the strength come from? In ourselves, we are perfect weakness. In ourselves, in our own spiritual strength and stamina, we have done. The Lord, David said, the Lord is my strength. When I am weak, then I am made strong. And then the third, and this is what I want to speak to us about primarily this morning. Also in verse 7, the Lord is my shield. The Lord is my shield. Several questions I want to ask and try to answer. First, what is a shield? What is a shield? Well, in the context, since David is the author, a shield we know was a piece of a soldier's armor, a defensive piece. David, who fought as a soldier, many times before he became king and after he became king, he knew something about a soldier and a soldier's equipment. You know, when he went to fight Goliath, most people are familiar with that, maybe more than any of the other military battles that David was engaged in. But when David fought Goliath, he fought him not as a soldier necessarily, but as a shepherd. You remember he had been keeping his father's sheep, and his father sent him to where the battle was arrayed to see his brothers. He was not in the army at all. And so he goes out to fight Goliath. He didn't have a shield, neither did he have a sword. But I notice this, that Goliath, the giant who had the armies of Israel defeated just by his presence, did you know he had an armor bearer? But his armor bearer was no defense against the sling that David had as God directed that stone. The Lord is my shield. What is a shield? Well, it is a piece of defensive armor. David was very familiar with a shield. And a shield was very important to a soldier. You can just picture in your mind going out into battle and having your sword and people coming against you, soldiers coming against you. How important was that shield to protect you and to keep you? Without a shield, a soldier would be easy prey for any man to strike and to eliminate. David says, "The Lord is my shield." He knew something about a shield. He knew the importance of a shield. Well, here's the second question. To whom is the Lord Jesus Christ a shield? Well, we've already seen that he is a shield to all who trust in him, all who trust in him with their heart. But I want you to turn back to Genesis chapter 15 just a moment. You remember God commanded Abram to leave his country and to go out into a land that he would show him. And that land, of course, was the land of Canaan. And he was alone, so to speak, in this land, although he became a great person in the fact that he had many servants in his house. But in Genesis 15 and verse 1, we read, "After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I, thy shield." I am thy shield. Now, fear not, Abram. I am thy shield. With the Lord as his shield, Abram had no cause to fear. No cause at all to fear. Because he is a shield like no other. Let me mention just a few things to us. Other shields might wear out after many battles, after many times being struck with a sword or spear or something like that. Other shields might wear out. But as the Lord as his shield, we know from the Word of God that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's a shield, in other words, that will never wear out. Fear not, Abram. I'm thy shield. I'm thy shield today. I'll be thy shield tomorrow. And as long as you need a shield, I am thy shield. And other shields could only serve to protect a person from one direction. In other words, if I had my shield, if I was a soldier and I had my shield in this direction, it could protect me against a soldier coming at me from this direction, but what about one behind me? What about one over here on this side? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ is a shield, and David tells us this in Psalm 5 and verse 2. He is a shield that compasses us about. Not only in front, but behind and on the sides and underneath and on the top. The Lord, fear not, Abram. You have no reason to fear with me as thy shield. Fear not, I am thy shield. Unlike any other shield, never wearing out, always the same. Encompassing you round about so that nothing from any direction can harm you. And then, other shields might be penetrated. From what I have read, these shields that David was familiar with were most likely skins. Skins of animals which had been dried, and then they had been stretched and formed, and they were layered. And so a 7-layered shield was a very thick shield, a very good shield. But even that shield, after so much striking by sword, could be penetrated. But the Lord Jesus Christ is a shield, all-powerful, not just very powerful, all-powerful. And no weapon which is formed against thee shall prosper. Not with him as thy shield. And other shields were made of dead materials. As I've already said, these skins, animal skins, they were made with dead materials. And even if they were made with metal or wood or something like that, they were not living. They were not made of living material. But the Lord, our shield, the shield of every believer, he's a living shield. He's a living shield. Never wear out. Encompass us about from every direction. Cannot be defeated or penetrated, and will never end. You say, well, preacher, you still have your Bible open here to Genesis chapter 15. You say, preacher, you've made your point about Abram having no reason to fear, but what about me? What about me? That promise, that declaration was made to him as an individual. But notice, if you will, over just a page or two in Genesis 17 and verse 7, we read, "And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee." Thy seed after thee. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 7 said this to believers, "Know ye therefore that they which are of faith," there it is, trusting in him with the heart, "they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham." The spiritual seed of Abraham. In other words, that covenant, that promise that was given to him is given to each and every one of us who believe in him, who are his spiritual seed. All right, the third question I want to ask is this. Why do we read in the New Testament of the shield of faith? You're familiar with the New Testament in Ephesians chapter 6. Why do we read of the shield of faith, if the Lord Jesus Christ, if he is our shield? Well, in Ephesians chapter 6, many believe, we know Paul was in prison when he wrote the letter of Ephesians. Many people believe he was chained. Many historians tell us that he was chained to a soldier. And as he was chained to a Roman soldier, he looked at him, and then he spiritualized everything that he saw about that Roman soldier. The first thing was the belt, the girdle. Gird up. What did that represent to Paul? The truth. The truth. And every one of us, as God's children, as soldiers in his army, we are to gird up ourselves with the truth. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then the next thing was the breastplate. The breastplate, of course, protected the heart, the most vital organ that we have in our bodies, I imagine. The breastplate of what? Of righteousness. Whose righteousness? The righteousness of Christ. The righteousness of God. That righteousness that he worked out by his perfect obedience to the law of God, to God himself. And that righteousness is imputed, is charged to the account of every one of us who believe in Christ. And that by his righteousness we are declared just before God. Oh, of all means, put on the breastplate of righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, not any work that I have done, not any righteousness which I can call my own. For all my righteousnesses are as filthy rags before God. But it is his righteousness. It's his righteousness that justifies. It's His righteousness that saves. And His righteousness is imputed to everyone who believes in Jesus Christ. The next thing, put on the sandals. Now, the sandals represent the gospel again, the gospel of peace. And as you think about that, as we walk, the gospel of peace. Have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Recognize that we do have peace with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And in our approach unto God, we always come in the name and in the person of Jesus Christ our Lord. We would not dare, I trust, none of us here today. I can speak for myself for sure. And I know I speak for many of you here. But I would not dare try to approach unto God apart from His Son, Jesus Christ. Would you? Not at all. Not at all. Whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, that will He do. That's what He said. And then, of course, there was a helmet. The Roman soldier would put on the helmet to cover his head, salvation for the head. And then there was one weapon of offense, and that was the sword of the Spirit. And the sword of the Spirit is, of course, the Word of God. But then the Apostle Paul said, and the shield of faith. Well, if Christ is our shield, then what is this shield of faith? Are there two shields? No, there are not two shields. The Lord is the one shield of every believer. But the soldier's shield, it was handled by his hand. And faith, the shield of faith, we talk about the hand many times as representing faith, how we receive Christ, believe in Christ, empty hand. In my hand, no price I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. The empty hand, what a picture of faith, right? Brings nothing, adds nothing, merits nothing, simply receives. And it is with faith, the hand of faith, that we hold the shield, which is Christ. We hold Him and use Him. And that brings me to the fourth question, the last question. From what does the Lord shield His people? The Lord is my shield. From what does He shield me? From what does He shield His people? There are several things. But the first thing He shields us from, the curses of God's broken law. The law of God, when you read sometimes there in Leviticus, one of those chapters where God goes down the line and He pronounces a curse upon everything, every point of disobedience. And then I believe that chapter ends, cursed be all who do not fulfill all things which are written in the law of God for to do them. You know, a lot of people can memorize the law. They can. That's not the issue. It's not knowing the law. It's not committing to memory the law. It's obeying the law. And every disobedience, there was a curse pronounced. And the Lord Jesus Christ, as our shield, He shields us from the curses of that broken law, that law which we have broken. And how does He do that? He did it as our shield. He received in His own body the curses that we deserve. Just as the shield protects, so He in His own body. Just as the shield receives the blows from an opposing soldier, So the Lord Jesus Christ, he received in his own body the curses that you and I merit by breaking God's holy law. And then, second, he shields the believer from accusations of his own conscience. Does your conscience ever accuse you? I'm sure it does. I'm sure it does, if it's not seared. Does it ever accuse you of what you've done, what you shouldn't have done? He's a shield. Even though we have disobeyed and we've done something we should not have done, the Lord is our shield, and he shields us with his precious atoning blood. John said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then third, he shields the believer from Satan and his fiery darts. In fact, that's what the apostle says there in Ephesians chapter 6. You know, there are almost as many of these fiery darts that are thrown or hurled at a believer as there are demons. Doubt, fear, blasphemies, many things Satan hurls at us. You know what I'm talking about. Even in a service, when you're here to worship God, thoughts come toward you. Or when you're in prayer, trying to seek the Lord and his face, and thoughts come. Not thoughts that you would ever want. Where do they come from? Those are those fiery darts that Satan is hurling at God's people. And the Lord is a shield from these fiery darts of Satan. Now I want to close this morning with this thought. I hope I can convey to you what I want to. When I began thinking about this message, I thought I want to present it like this, as a shield given and a shield taken. He is given to us as our shield. We could never merit him to be our shield. We could never deserve him to be our shield. We could never earn or pay a price for him to be our shield, our Savior. He's given to us. Salvation is completely a gift of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He's a shield given, but also he's a shield taken. And it is as believers that we are told, we who have been given Christ as our Savior, as our shield, and yet we are told, we are exhorted, take above all, Paul said. Above all, think about, above all these things I've named, the girdle, the breastplate, the helmet, the sandals, the sword of the Spirit, above all, he said, above everything, taking the shield of faith, the shield taken. We must take him, you and I, as his children. We must take him hour by hour and day by day as our shield. That is, we must continually look to him to shield us from temptations to sin, to shield us from unworthy thoughts. What a privilege it is today to know that along with the psalmist, you and I, we may say, the Lord is my rock. The Lord is my strength. The Lord is my shield. And I thought about these words in the song of Moses. For their rock is not as our rock. That's what Moses taught the Israelites to sing. Their rock, their God, is not as our rock. And we might say the same thing about the Lord, not only as our rock, but as our strength. Their strength, those who do not know Him, their strength is not as our strength. And their shield is not as our shield. Well, I pray the Lord would bless this word to all of us here today and enable us to go out rejoicing if we know Christ as our Lord and Savior, that He is our shield and we must take Him. We must take Him. Look to Him. Trust in Him day by day. Let's sing this hymn number 269, Under His Wings, Under His Wings.